Of course, it's Palm Sunday. And we're going to I don't always preach about Palm Sunday on Palm Sunday, but actually we're going to visit that today. And today is actually a day of celebration. It was a day of celebration in Jerusalem because if you remember, if you know, if you've been in your Bible at all or went to children's church, Palm Sunday was a big deal. Now, I don't have any palm fronds to hand out today, okay? The reason they called it Palm Sunday is because when Jesus went down the streets of Jerusalem, everybody took a palm frond or a branch from a palm tree and started waving them to the Lord as he passed by. They also laid their coats in the street, and Jesus rode on their coats. It's just a wonderful symbol of sacrifice on the parts of the people. So the first thing I want us to do, why don't we just turn, well, you don't have to turn there. But in Matthew chapter 21, you are going to have to turn to Revelation chapter 19, okay? Because I don't have that on the board. There's too much there that needs to be shared. And so it's a great opportunity for you to learn where Revelation is in your Bible. Okay? Where is Revelation? I forgot. Oh, thank you. It's right before the maps. It's at the end of the book, in the end of the Bible, is a book called Revelation. And the reason it's called Revelation is because there were some things that were revealed, and most of which has not occurred yet. Okay? And so we will get there. Because what I want to do, I want to compare Jesus' first coming to the streets of Jerusalem on a donkey with when he's going to return to the streets of Jerusalem. And we're going to look at two different pictures of him coming to Jerusalem. Okay? So, Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. It says, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them.' All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Zechariah, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity of being here today. I thank you for what you have in store for us. Lord, there's some still here today that have care they were unable to get off their shoulders. And so, Lord, whatever problem, whatever situation there is, you are bigger than that situation. You're bigger than that problem. And so, Lord, right now, we just lift those cares up to you in the name of Jesus. We place them at your feet. Because, Lord, what you're doing is bigger than what the enemy is trying to do in this situation. And so we give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So let me just say this. In the book of John, it says that Jesus rode on a colt that had never, a donkey that had never been ridden before. When I was younger, I participated in a donkey basketball game. Rode the donkey, And that donkey was bucking and throwing and kicking and all of that stuff. And I was able to ride on his front shoulders, you know, and him do all that stuff and still stay on the donkey. Now, how many of you have ridden on a donkey that has never been ridden on before? You have. What did it do, Bob? What did it do? It bucked. Did you fall off? Okay. So to me, I thought that was probably the case, but I've never been on a new donkey, one that's never been ridden. But I'm thinking, you know, Jesus got on a donkey that had never been ridden and he didn't even buck. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. I don't know, I think about weird things like that. But, you know, we see God, Jesus, in all of his ministry. I mean, it's just one miracle after another miracle and after another miracle. And oftentimes we just kind of overlook those things. But Jesus was coming on the streets of Jerusalem. Can you imagine being on the streets of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday? Thousands perhaps crowding on the street, and you're one of the participants. Can you imagine what that might be like? And the people were shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord!" Waving their palm fronds in praise and adoration to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can you imagine what that may have been like? Do you know what Hosanna means? There's the Hebrew word, if I can find it, is Yashana. 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 That's what they were singing actually in Hebrew. Yashana. Yashana. And what that means actually is, oh save, oh save, oh save. Isn't that amazing? Perhaps they didn't even know the implications of that shout that they were exclaiming to the Lord. Oh, save! Oh, save! Oh, save! Do you know what Jesus' name means? My name is... I don't know what it means. I know what my children's name means. Crystal Naomi means brilliantly pure and pleasant. Micah Philip means one who is like God. I don't know what your name means. Some of you I did. You may not even know, but some of you I know your name. But the name of Jesus means Savior. That's what his name means. It's Savior. And so they were proclaiming and shouting, "Oh, save! Oh, save! Oh, save! Yashana! Yashana! Yashana!" Could we pretend that we are on the streets of Jerusalem this morning? Let's stand together. And I want us to welcome Jesus. Okay? So let's welcome Jesus. And you can say either Yashana or Hosanna or Oh Save. And you can mix it up if you want to. Okay? So let's welcome Jesus. Hosanna! 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 Yashana! Yashana! Oh, save! Oh, save! We don't have palm fronds, but you can wave your hands. Yashana! Praise the Lord! Hosanna! Hosanna! Oh, save! Oh, save. You may be seated. Now, some of you were saying it like you didn't want anybody to hear you. But that's not the way it would have been in Jerusalem that day, on Main Street. That is not what it would have been like. 500 years before Jesus came to Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, there was a prophecy by Zechariah. In chapter 9, verse 9, it says this: "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So Jesus is just. Jesus is righteous. He brings justice, and He has salvation. Many of these citizens of Rome were anticipating and wanting someone to save them, someone to bring justice to their nation, because the Romans were in charge during that time, and there was no justice, it didn't seem, for the Jews. There was no justice for the poor, and so they were wanting justice. And this passage of Scripture says that Jesus is going to bring justice. It's no wonder they celebrated. It's no wonder they lay down their garments in the road. It's no wonder that they praised Him. There's a passage of Scripture in Revelation. And the second, or when Jesus returns, and there's some debate on whether or not this is His second return, or when He, you know, if it's a third return, and I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to just say that when Jesus returns, this is what it's going to look like. But before we go there, there's a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 24, verses 30 and 31. Matthew 24, 30 and 31 says, "This is the sign of the Son of Man. He will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send His angels with a great shout of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." So, when Jesus came to Jerusalem the first time, there was no trumpet blast. Okay? There was no trumpet blast. There was probably rumors and murmuring that Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. And many of the people wanted to see this Jesus who had performed so many miracles. And so they came out in floods to watch and to see Jesus as He entered Jerusalem. The second time He comes, Scripture says that He's going to come with a trumpet. He's going to come with a trumpet. The trumpet is going to announce His coming, but also I believe that the trumpet is going to announce a war zone. There's a war that's on. I was doing some research, and throughout history, and there have been buglers and trumpeters that used throughout history in armies to announce an attack or to announce a withdrawal, to get out of bed, to raise the flag, a lot of different things. The trumpet or the bugle was raised for. Even if you look in the ancient Israel, they used a shofar, which is a ram's horn. Whenever they were going into battle, they would blow the shofar. And when they would retreat from battle, they would blow the shofar. That has been used for centuries and centuries and centuries. One of the reasons is to announce that we're going to war. I was doing, like I said, I was doing some research. It wasn't until like World War I that they began to have radios that they can communicate with one another about what's taking place on the field and to be able to communicate with the armies. But I was also in World War II, they were stretching telephone lines through the Panama Canal. I'm sorry, the Guadalcanal. Through the Guadalcanal, and so that they could have communication with their different posts. And that was back in 1940s, mid-40s. Less than 100 years ago, for centuries and centuries, the armies knew what was going on by a trumpet. Scripture says that when Jesus returns, that there's going to be a trumpet blast. Not only to announce His coming, but it's also going to announce that we're going into battle. Look, if you would, at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Starting with verse 11. You have your Bibles. I'm reading out of the New King James, so it may be a little bit different than what your translation says, but it'll be close. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a donkey. Is that what yours said? Oh, okay. It says a white horse. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, and white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast, and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with a sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Chapter 20. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. In the first coming of Jesus to Jerusalem, we see a humble servant riding on a donkey. In this depiction of Jesus, we see a conquering king on a white charger. A little bit different. You know, talked about last week Jesus being the same yesterday, today, and forever. This doesn't sound like the same Jesus, does it? It's the same Jesus. In the first coming, Scripture says, Jesus said that He did not come to judge or He did not come to condemn. John chapter 3, verse 17 says that God sent Jesus not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Okay? In this passage of Scripture, Jesus comes to judge the world. That's one of the reasons He's coming, is to judge the world. I don't know if you saw on the news this week about Assad and Syria and him commanding chemical weapons to be dropped and killing children. And I mean, it was a horrible sight. Horrible sight of all these children that were dead because of Assad and his regime causing chemical weapons to be displayed and to detonate in these regions of civilians. One day Jesus is going to come back and He's going to rule. That kind of stuff's not going to go on anymore. I don't know what you think about it, but I'm grateful that President Trump did what he did. I'm really grateful he did what he did. I'm grateful that he sent 49 Tomahawk missiles and 59, thank you, Tomahawk missiles and destroyed air bases where the planes couldn't lift off and deploy any more of those chemical weapons. I'm grateful for that. I thank the Lord for that. One day Jesus is going to come back, and that's not, those kind of things are not going to happen anymore, because he's going to rule in righteousness. The first time he came as a servant of righteousness. When he comes again, he's going to rule in righteousness. The first time Jesus came, he came to conquer sin, death, and hell. The next time, or when he returns, he's going to defeat the false prophet. He's going to defeat the Antichrist. And he's going to defeat all of those who are opposed to Jesus Christ and who are opposed to Israel. First time he came to redeem sinners. Scripture says that he came to seek and to save those who were lost. When he returns, he's going to come to destroy the godless nations. And the wrath of God will be poured out. Doesn't sound like the same Jesus, does it? But it's the same Jesus. The first time he came, there were few who were ready for his first coming. When he returns, will you be ready? Will you be ready? First time he came, he exposed and conquered, defeated the works of Satan. When he comes again, Scripture says that he's going to take Satan and he's going to throw him in a pit. He's going to put him in prison for 1,000 years. Won't that be wonderful? Won't it be great to be able to experience life without Satan? All of his works that he does, all of his schemes, all of the plans that he has, it's going to be a great day when we don't have to war against him anymore. The first time Jesus came, he came laying his God mantle aside and lived as man. I was reading a book not long ago, and the author shared that it was like Jesus had a God card, like with 777 on it. And he could have used that card at any time, but he chose not to use the card while he was here on earth. He never used the God card while he was here on earth. The first time when he came, Scripture says, or Jesus said, you know, I could call, if I wanted to, I could call a legion of angels to come and help me. He chose not to do it. When he returns, he's going to have a whole army. All of heaven's army is going to be riding behind him. On his coattails. The entire army of heaven. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? The first time he came as the Lamb of God. He was silent, Scripture says, before those who ridiculed him. For those who accused him, he did not say a word. When he comes again, he's going to come as the Word of God. Scripture says that the sword of the Lord is coming out of his mouth. What is the sword of the Lord? The Word of God. He comes to destroy. He does not come to bring peace at that time. He comes to destroy. His vesture, on his vesture, is written the Word of God. the Word of God. When he came the first time, he came as the Word of God. When he returns, he's going to return as the Word of God. The first time he came as the light of God. When he returns, he's going to return as the light of God. The first time he came as the Son of God. When he returns, he's going to return as the Son of God. It's a lot of difference between his first entrance into Jerusalem and his second entrance into Jerusalem. Which Jesus do you like best? I like both of them. You know, he's still, even when he comes the second time, he's still humble. He's still meek. He still rules in righteousness. He's still the same person we saw on the streets of Jerusalem. He hated ungodliness then, just like he hates it now, and he will hate it when he comes again. He hates it. He's still the same. Same yesterday, today, and forever. A lot of people want to see Jesus only as a gentle, meek, and mild person that they can run over and tell him what to do. But that's not who Jesus is. Scripture says, one day, every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. That means yours. That means mine. You may say, you may be here today and say, well, I'll never bow. You're going to eat those words. You're going to eat those words. Because every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Very few were ready for his first coming. Are you ready for his second coming? I sure hope you are. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you've never put him first place in your life, made him Lord of your life, you're not ready for his second coming. But God wants you to be ready. And Scripture teaches you, teaches us, that if you will turn from your sin and receive Christ as your personal Savior, that will give you the right to become a child of God. That's your right. If you will do that. Some people want to hold on to their sin while at the same time pray to receive Christ. You can't do that. It's called repentance. We have to turn from our sin and turn to Jesus. So this morning, if you are here without Christ, Jesus is coming again. And it could be before the service is over. We don't know when he's going to return. But my prayer for you is that if you do not have that assurance in your heart, that you would receive Christ today as your personal Lord and Savior. Perhaps some of you know Christ as your Savior, but you're not living for Him, you're not walking with Him. That's a serious place to be when Jesus returns. And so I would just encourage you, whatever is in your heart that you need to get right with God, that you need to get right with the Word of God, the one who judges in righteousness, the one who's coming again to rule, let him rule your heart today. Would you do that? Father, we come before you today. Lord, I pray, oh God, that there would not be a person here in this sanctuary who would leave without knowing you as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray today that you would just search our hearts. Pray that if there's anyone here today under the call of the Spirit, that they would respond to you and receive Christ as their Savior. And Lord, if there's those who've been wandering away from you, I pray today they would come back to you. And Lord, you will embrace them. You will love them. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.